Mitchell.
This is the U105 phone-in with Frank Mitchell. U105.
So you're right, it is Friday morning, it is U105, and the more observant amongst you will have noticed that it's not actually Frank Mitchell, it's Peter McFerry sitting in for Frank today. You're very welcome. We'll have a busy show and a packed show, and we'll start straight on the phones and we'll speak to Alan McQuillan. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Alan, we wanted to chat to you this morning. There's a story that came last night, if you like, and then a bit more covered this morning, being covered on it as well, on David Ford, the Alliance representative. Can you fill us in? David's been fined for a sign that he has. Can you fill us in, Alan, on the background to this and the legislation that Alan has breached? Sorry, that.
Yeah, it's not so much a fine. The situation is that the panel was set up to determine what pay and allowances and expenses MLAs should be allowed to claim. And as part of that, we set out a rule on the signage that was allowed in offices where MLAs were claiming the rent and rates. Now, there have been problems in the past with the usage of these offices because there was a set of rules around that. And some of those rules dated back to the time that predated the panel. They've been set by MLAs themselves. For example, that they weren't only allowed to use them for assembly purposes, they weren't allowed to use them for councillors and that. But in practice, when we looked at it, we found they were being used for all sorts of purposes. They were being marketed and used as party advice centres. They had councillors based in them. They were selling stuff from them. There were all sorts of issues that were not what the money was supposed to be used for. So we went out to consultation with very few responses, and we proposed in that there should be a particular design of sign used in all MLA's offices. And that was one that had the party logo, the MLA's name, and the assembly logo on it. That went through the whole consultation process. We put it into the determination, and that then became law. The problem appears to be that David has put up a sign in his office which is outside the determination. And the rules then provide that you're not entitled to claim rent or rates for that office if it isn't compliant. And what the Assembly is trying to do is recover the rent and rates already paid to him from him because of that sign.
I think there's an understanding there that it's outside the recommendation or outside the legislation. But is the only thing that's outside it that the man has displayed his telephone number and his email address on a sign so that people can contact him?
Yes, but the question is, where do you draw the boundary? And the Commission of the Assembly have taken the decision in this case to do this. I suspect that's because in our final year in operation, we identified a significant number of cases where the Assembly had paid out monies to MLAs that were not permitted by the determination. And as a result of that, the Assembly ended up with its accounts qualified for irregular expenditure. And I think that there may have been, after that, there may have been a crackdown within the Assembly on this.
I know, Alan, that the Independent Financial Review panel that you sat on is now defunct. But what would you say to someone who said, well, actually, you know, it's going too far and it's a laughable law, if you like. Because surely having your contact details displayed to people who voted for you or people who might want to use your services isn't a breach of the law or isn't a flagrant breach of the law. It's simply, you know, the letter of the law, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a mechanism built in after we found that there had been breaches of the rules in the past. There was a mechanism built in that in a case like this, Assembly staff could make an approach to the panel. The panel would review it and see if they could come to some interpretation of the regulations that might resolve the problem. The difficulty is the panel was then allowed to lapse. No attempt has been made to replace it, and I understand there's a dispute between Sinn Féin and the UP over what should replace it. And as a result of that, the determination sits there frozen, and the Assembly can't do anything about it. The MLAs can't do anything about it in the meantime.
But we do.
So it's a consequence and part of this.
It's not the only disagreement that we would have between Sinn Féin and the DUP, and there are a whole lot of them that are much bigger, and they're impacting on the health and education and the well-being of citizens in this country. This one seems like it's just a minutiae, and it seems like it's an internal thing, and it's a bit of paperwork, and somebody said, right, that's in law, and somebody else has said, right, well, we can't change that now, and much as we don't like it, we have to enforce it, or much as we think maybe written down on paper it looks right, enforced in reality, well, it looks a bit heavy-handed.
I accept that, but the one thing I would say to you is be very careful, because what we have found in the past is with MLAs, you make an exception in one rule, and there are some MLAs, a minority, I have to say, who will then use that, well, let's change something else. And this set of rules was designed to make sure that public money was used effectively. Over the time we came into office and began to deal with this issue, if you look at what we did, we gave the MLAs a major pay raise. We got a system where all their staff were properly recruited through a fair process and went on to proper contracts, something they didn't have before. We made sure that they had a pension, something they didn't have before. And we gave MLAs two pay raises. And doing all that, we managed to squeeze something like a couple of million a year out of the costs of Stormont to the benefit of the public. So, you know, this was all part of a package that gave MLAs and their staff a lot of benefits, but it imposed some conditions to do that.
Aye, so essentially you're saying, listen, they can't have the good and the bad. The MLAs, in the view of some people, might have been on the pig's back for a while and continue to be when they receive whatever they're continuing to receive now for not doing the job that they're in now. And obviously, and David's not an example of this, because I think you very clearly said, Alan, that you do feel very sorry for David, one of the most honest politicians that there is, who's always beyond reproach. And this isn't a law that he's broken, it's a rule and a regulation. But you're saying actually MLAs can't have it every way. They can't tell everybody else to follow the rules and then expect the rules to be bent or amended just to suit them. Is that right?
No, and we did go out to consult in advance. We published this in advance with an outline of what the signs would look like.
Yeah.
And we only had a few responses, and we had no response at all from the DUP or Sinn Féin. The smaller parties... And
too busy around the country, Alan, were they?
It's always the pattern.
Yeah.
But the issue for me and David is, David was, as an honest man, I mean, he if you look at his behaviour in RHI when he was Minister of Justice, he was exemplary in refusing to get involved in RHI. His expenses, I know from looking at the expenses of the MLAs for 5 or 6 years, his expenses were always beyond any reproach. And I'm really, really sorry to see him in this position. And I simply don't know where the solution to this lies at the moment.
Okay. Alan, thanks very much for your time. We'll speak to the Alliance and find out what their view on it now is. Alan McQuillan, thank you very much. On the line with me now is Stuart Dixon, Alliance representative in MLA. Stuart, I know David's not available to talk to us this morning, but what's the Alliance view on this? Is it a storm in a teacup and a fine, if you like? Maybe fines are not the right phrase that Alan was trying to veer away from there for nothing.
Well, the reality of the situation is that the determination was made with regards to signage. However, the interpretation of that is left to Assembly staff, and Assembly members cannot interfere in those decisions. In fact, the law is quite clear. That's why we have the independent panel. The point that Alan McQuillan made, what could have happened is that if the panel had still been in existence, reference back to, as you describe it, minutiae details like this about whether one sign or two signs, two separate signs, meet the criteria or not, would easily have been resolved. And David, unfortunately, has fallen into the situation, and I believe other MLAs are in the same situation, where the letter of the law is being followed, but because the Assembly has audited their offices, they have discovered these tiny inconsistencies, and instead of using common sense, they've used a sledgehammer. And I find that totally and utterly regrettable. I want to pick up one point that Alan McQuillan said, and didn't say it this morning with you, but he said it yesterday, that people really didn't need to have telephone numbers and email addresses for MLA's offices. Well, you know, they do. And it's not true to say that every person who uses our services knows how to contact us. Indeed, I get many people coming into my office, and the whole purpose of them coming into my office is to use my email connection and my phone number to make important calls about benefits or health appointments, because they physically either don't have access to the internet or they simply have insufficient resources on their mobile phone. They use pay-as-they-go. I get many constituents coming in having to make inquiries of taxation with regards to benefits and things like that. These are very long phone calls that they have to make, and they simply run out of credit on their phones. So therefore, it is important that members of the public see and know what an MLA's phone number and email address is. And that's all that David Ford was doing. Yeah. In addition to the standard approved assembly signage, he put up a separate sign with his telephone number and his email address. It didn't say Vote Alliance. It didn't say anything else about David Ford. It just simply gave his contact details.
I understand.
Drive down it. Yes.
I understand that Alliance and this will feel as if they're a grieved party. But what about people who are sitting listening to this morning thinking, is that all they've got to do? And is that all they've got to talk about at the Assembly or at what's left of the Assembly? We're sitting here on the last day of RHI. We're sitting here with recommendations and with the top legal people in the country saying with hypernatremia recommendations to bring in. We've lots to do. Like, and we're sitting talking about a phone number and an email address on the end of a sign and whether or not this is a law or a piece of advice.
We are, and regrettably, because of the misbehaviour of MLAs in the past, we had to have an independent panel to determine these things for us. And because, as Alan Quillen has also said this morning, because the independent panel has now lapsed, and there is no assembly and no assembly mechanism to replace an independent panel, we have members of staff left in the unenviable situation of having to make decisions about this, and that is where David Ford has fallen down between two stools. One, that there's no independent panel to whom a simple appeal, and I'm absolutely convinced that for David to have someone to appeal to, the matter would be resolved within a day of explanation and discussion.
And I know
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I know you don't mean it in that way, Stuart, but if we ever get the Assembly back up and running, this should be 10 years down the line. We have a lot more stuff to deal with than whether or not this is a law or a regulation and what's to be done. Anybody has this on their priority list would be a laughable politician or a laughable civil servant.
Yep, you're absolutely right, and this just plays into the ridiculous storybook that is the Northern Ireland Assembly. And you're absolutely right. Sinn Féin and the DUP won't even talk to each other about how we might have a new panel to deal with these things. And yes, they are just standard housekeeping issues, but David Ford has fallen foul of a standard housekeeping issue. It is wrong, in my opinion. It needs to be resolved. And if this place was up and running, it would be resolved extremely quickly. And you're absolutely right. Sitting here today on the last day of RHI and the panel goes away to make their determination, we're sitting here on the edge of Brexit. No idea of what will happen in Northern Ireland with regards to Brexit. All of those things are the most important things. I'm an angry person. I'm somebody who's trying my very best, along with my party and my colleagues, to move Northern Ireland forward. And we're stuck between two stubborn blocks of people who are headstrong and willfully taking Northern Ireland into a place that I believe citizens do not want us to be.
Stuart, you know, I'd forgotten about Brexit there for 5 minutes until you mentioned it. Thanks for the reminder. It's coming down the line. We've got to deal with that one as well. Stuart, thanks very much for your time. There's one more. I don't mean this in a negative way, but I think we've already spent too long talking about this, but we're going to spend another minute or two talking about it with Jim Wells on the line to talk to us as well from the DUP. Stuart, thanks very much for your time this morning. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Jim, are you there? Jim Wells.
Yes, I am, yes.
How you doing, Jim? Jim, you sit on the commission as well, or on the now defunct.
I do.
What's your instinct on this, Jim? Does it serve David right for not applying, not obeying the letter of the law, the regulations, or is the man being unfairly punished for something that anybody should be able to do?
Unfairly punished. I agree with vast majority of what Stuart Dixon said, because first of all, Alan McQuillan needs to be accurate here. I believe what happened was they forgot to list the telephone number and the email address as being acceptable on the sign. And I would think far more of the independent review panel if they just turn around and say, look, folks, we made a mistake here, hands up. Because it's absolutely daft. Every other business and office in Northern Ireland puts their telephone number and their email address on the sign.
But the same thing happened, Jim. If I decided I was going to stand the next time in South Down and try and knock you off your seat and open the constituency office, Jim, could I put my Twitter handle or my Facebook up on it or my Instagram, or am I going to get the fine doubled? Or the bill doubled? It's not a fine, we have to remember.
But what could be wrong in constituents in South Down being able to take a note of the telephone number and the email address of their public representative, particularly if they arrived at the office, say it was closed for a bank holiday or Saturday? They could take a note of the number and then ring the office. This is not a constitutional crisis. Every other political representative in the rest of the world, be it in the Republic, the rest of the United Kingdom and Europe, puts their telephone number on the sign of their office. I mean, this is what's crazy about this. But not only is that daft, but the fine, which is almost £10,000. £10,000 for putting your telephone number on a sign is absolutely crazy. The punishment doesn't match the crime. If it said to David, look, get a paint here and paint out the telephone number, or we'll fine you £20, don't do it again, that's fine. But to withhold an entire year's rent, which is £8,500, because you dared to put a telephone number on your note, on your sign, it's just crazy.
Do you feel strongly enough, Jim, to give him a hand with paying the bill, or would you start a GoFundMe page maybe for him?
No, I'm hoping this will be resolved without the need, because the staff are in various positions because they have no choice. They have to enforce the determination, and they feel guilty about this as well. But there's a third issue here. The rules only apply to a sign that the Assembly's paid for. David Ford has a standard sign that the Assembly's paid for, which meets the rules. He has bought out of his own pocket a separate sign with the revolutionary decision that he's going to put his telephone number on it. And so he's being fined for something the Assembly didn't pay for in the first place. And this is how crazy the rules are. And I just wish Al McQuillan had said, look, lads, I'm sorry, we got this totally wrong. And it's just, we just would apologise to David Ford. But he's a political rival, could I say, but certainly I honestly agree with him.
But if we take it away from the minutiae of this that we were talking about, and we take it back to the two bigger issues, the one issue that stands out is, we shouldn't be talking about anything like this, Jim. We should be talking about where Northern Ireland is at and what the future of Northern Ireland is and how we're going to get a government back up and running again in Northern Ireland. And the second one is, in the interim period, with what Karen Bradley is talking about and giving more power to civil servants, this potentially is an example of where somebody's saying, listen, I think there's a better way to do it, but we can't because we're bound by what the last set of people set up, or we're bound by what was written by the Stormont that's not here, and I'm only a civil servant and I can't change it, Gov. I'm just doing my job.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There's 100 more important issues to be talking about than a huge fine because somebody dared to put their telephone number in their sign. I agree with you on that. The only reason I'm speaking about it is that when it was decided upon the commission, I spoke up in David Ford's favour and the media have contacted me about it. Now, I don't think that Karen Bradley's legislation actually covers this issue. I think that the only way it's going to be solved is perhaps if David Ford takes legal action, because the rules are absolutely rigid. But it would help if the previous members of the Financial Review Panel at least admit they made a mistake. And there's absolutely no doubt that this is just an error. No other, nothing else. You know, Alan said on the media yesterday, people don't visit MLA's offices to get their phone number. They do, because they want to find out how to contact them if the office is closed. And they want to take a note of it to refer it on to their friends if they have consistency problems. And not everybody is able to go onto the internet and get the information from that. Older people struggle with the new technology. But as I say, what earth-shattering change would happen if we were allowed to stick our telephone number on our signs? Yeah. Would the world collapse? Would it be a major constitutional problem if that was to happen?
We'll be no worse off, Jim, than we are now.
Well, it would mean that our constituents would have a better opportunity to contact us. I mean, I just think the thing's crazy. But anyhow, had it been a £20 fine, this would never have been mentioned. It's just the fact it runs into many thousands of pounds. So someone who's actually retired is going to have to come out of his pension. I mean, this is how ridiculous it is.
What's an MLA's pension like, Jim?
Well, I don't know.
You were the father of the house. You'd be the longest one there. You'd have the biggest pot, would you not? Surely you could make a wee contribution to David Ford, a poor retired man on his uppers.
Well, remember, David Ford was a minister for quite a long time, so he'll have a pension as well.
But you're a former minister too, Jim. You didn't do too badly.
I'm not only the longest person to serve at Stormont at the minute, I'm also the longest DUP person ever there. And I have been contributing to the pension plan because it's a very volatile existence. you could be in the Assembly for 20 years or you could be out after four. And that's why there's a pension scheme, so if the worst does come about, you do have a pension, which we pay into, and we pay 12.5% of our salary into our pension. So it's a quite a high contribution level. But I do think it's unfair that someone who's now a pensioner is being asked to pay something in the region of £8,500 for a tiny, tiny little error. I mean, you go before the court, if you're fined £8,500, you have committed some awful offence.
Jim, we'll leave it there. I suppose the only thing, the way to leave it maybe with you is, if I was you, I'd be checking the minutiae of my pension just to make sure I'm going to get anything, that there aren't any regulations that you're in breach of that might stop you getting the full whack whenever you decide to cash it in.
Well, I'm also a pension trustee at Stobart, so I watch very carefully, not just in my own interest, but the other 89 members to make certain that won't happen.
Good man. Jim, thanks for your time. All the best now. Bye-bye.